Don't be stubborn, Brad. I'm not stubborn. I'm just protecting you.
Me?
Or yourself? But she was smiling as she challenged him. He got up from the sofa and extended his hand to her. We can discuss this later.
In bed, Felicia said, rising to his side.
Brad clasped her hand, and wordlessly they headed for the bedroom.
Brad, wake up!
Felicia's voice cut into his dream. He was standing out on the floor of Tithonium Chasma again as the landslide pounded the base into rubble. Standing there, helpless, stupid, safe, while his family died.
Wake up!
He opened his gummy eyes. Felicia was bending over him, shaking him. Even in the shadows of the darkened bedroom, he could see that her eyes were wide, her face fearful. Blinking, shuddering, he sputtered.
Why, they're dead. Killed.
You were moaning in your sleep again, Felicia said. You sounded awful. In pain.
He pulled himself up to a sitting position and rubbed his eyes. The dream again.
The same one?
Pretty much. He wrapped an arm across her bare back and pulled her to him. She felt warm, safe. Sorry I woke you.
Are you all right? Felicia asked.
Brad pulled in a deep, shuddering breath.
Yeah,
I'm all right. Then he swallowed hard. But they are all dead.
It wasn't your fault, Felicia said soothingly. There wasn't anything you could do.
I should have been with them. I should have gone back into our quarters and tried to help them.
Then you would have been killed too.
Maybe. But I should have tried.
Felicia laid her head on his bare shoulder.
No, she purred. You're alive, and you should be glad of it. I am.
Brad said nothing. He kissed her lightly, then lay back on the bed silently. But he thought, I let them die. I should have been with them. I should have done something. I should have died with them.
Working day. The anthropology team, all 12 of them, were sitting around the circular table in one of the starship's smaller conference rooms. It was their regular Wednesday meeting, where they exchanged notes on the work they were doing. Sitting almost directly across the table from Littlejohn, Brad realized that Kossoff had never attended one of their meetings. He sits in on all the other department meetings, but not ours. He doesn't regard our work as real science. We're not important to the mission as far as he's concerned. One by one, the group members reported on their work. Littlejohn listened mostly in silence. The team was building a picture of how the other scientists aboard Odysseus were creating, mostly unconsciously, a social structure for themselves.
Their pecking order is pretty simple, Larry Untermeyer was reporting on a study of the technology team's engineers. There's Kossoff at the top of the heap, of course. Then comes Kossoff's graduate students, then their grad students, and finally the poor slobs who come from other schools.
No recognition of merit? Littlejohn asked. Accomplishment?
Untermeyer shook his head.
None of them has accomplished anything that would impress Kossoff. Not yet.
One of the women piped up. It's the same with the health and safety department. Kossoff and his former students are at the top of the heap. If you tried to draw an organization chart, Brad pointed out, it would look like a series of concentric circles. Kossoff in the middle, his former students in the next circle, their graduates in the next, and so on. Littlejohn made a tight little smile.
Seems to work. They are productive.
So far, Untermeyer said before Brad could voice his own opinion. Once they had gone completely around the table, Littlejohn nodded smilingly and said,
Good work, all of you. If we keep this up, we'll have a fine report to make back to the mission coordinators on Earth.
One of the women, blonde, slim, sharp-featured, asked,
Have any of the other teams put out reports yet?
Littlejohn shook his head.
Too soon. We could issue an interim report in a few weeks, I think.
The rest of the people on board don't seem very happy about our work, the woman said.
Nods and murmurs of agreement went around the table.
They think we're snooping on them.
They don't like it.
Well, they don't like us.
Littlejohn shrugged.
That in itself is an important indicator of their attitudes, isn't it?
I suppose. But it doesn't make it any easier for us, you know.
With a smile that looked downright fierce, Littlejohn said,
We're not here to do an easy job.
It's important to understand how teams of people isolated and far from home build their social systems.
Important for who? Asked the man sitting next to Brad.
Whom?
With a sour expression, the man growled.
All right, whom, for Christ's sake?
It's important for our understanding of how human societies work, said Little John. The human race is expanding out among the stars. Human social norms are going to change. They'll have to if we are to survive and flourish out here.
We're not going to spend the rest of our lives here, the blonde snapped.
Perhaps not, said Little John.
But others will.
Humankind is enlarging its habitat again. It's something we've been doing since Homo ergaster started walking out of eastern Africa nearly 2 million years ago. We've spread all across Earth and out through the solar system. Now we're beginning to spread among the stars. You people, he gestured to the team sitting around the table, have the opportunity to study how our civilization changes in its new environments. Dead silence fell on them, and Brad thought, he sees farther than we do. He's looking ahead generations, centuries. Untermeyer finally wisecracked.
Here I thought we were just studying how Kossoff controls everything.
That's part of it, Little John admitted.
Maybe an important part.
Will Kossoff found a dynasty among the stars?
More likely he'll proclaim himself a god, Brad heard himself say.
He might at that, Little John agreed with a chuckle. As the meeting broke up, Little John called,
I want to talk to you, Brad.
Brad stepped out of the line, heading for the conference room door.
Yes?
Dr. Steiner is very happy with the work you did at Alpha.
Surprised, Brad blurted, she is.
You got excellent data, and the philology team is happily building up their understanding of the octopod's language.
It's pretty primitive, Brad said. Barely a language by our standards.
Yes, but they communicate, said Little John. And even the astronomy team is impressed by the temperature profile you took of Alpha's ocean. Dr. Abbott told me it's very interesting.
Brad shrugged. The sensors worked automatically. All I did was collate the data they took. Before Little John could react, he added, I had plenty of time on my hands with nothing much to do.
I imagine you did.
Well, anyway, Steiner is very pleased.
I see Dr. Steiner almost every day, Brad said.
She's never indicated that she's pleased with me. Little John reached up and placed a hand on Brad's shoulder.
She can't tell you directly. You're still on Kossoff's blacklist.
Brad grumbled. Yeah, he's still sore at me.
He's an alpha ape. He's got to keep you in your place if he wants to keep himself at the top of the tribe.
I'm only a junior anthropologist, Brad said. I'm no threat to him.
He thinks you are. That's bullshit.
Cocking his head to one side, Little John said,
Yes, I agree that it is. But Kossoff knows the game and he's good at playing it. He can't smile at you. That would loosen his status a little. And he can't allow subordinates like Steiner to smile at you either.
But she told you that she appreciates my work.
Little John nodded.
There's more than one way to skin an alpha ape, my boy.
Apes and Angels. His mind spinning with hopes and fears, Brad left the conference room and walked down the passageway with Little John. People coming up the passageway from the other direction smiled and murmured hello. Brad realized that he and the Aborigine made an odd couple, the pygmy and the beanpole. As they approached Little John's office, Brad asked, How long am I going to stay on Kossoff's shit list? Little John looked up at him.
Until you make some gesture of subservience, I suppose. That's the way tribal politics works, usually.
He wants me to give up Felicia.
Well, I suppose he does.
I'm not going to do it.
I can't. I won't.
With a little shrug, Little John said,
Every act has consequences, Brad. Every decision means alternative decisions have been discarded.
I love her, Brad said, surprising himself. And he immediately realized it's true.
I love her.
And she loves me, I think.
Love is a very big word, said Little John.
They had reached his office door. Sliding it open, Little John said,
Come in, Brad. Come in.
Instead of going to his desk, Little John pulled out a chair from the tiny table in the opposite corner of the compartment and gestured for Brad to take the other chair. As he sat, Brad said,
I'd like to work with the philologists
I'd like to help decipher the octopod's language.
Why?
Why not? I spent 3 months out there recording the sounds they make. I'd like to be part of the team that decodes those sounds into their language.
For several long silent moments, Little John stared at Brad from under his beetling brows. At last he said,
You want to make a contribution. That's good. But what about your work here on the anthropology team?
Feeling less than comfortable, Brad replied,
That's not as important as learning the language of an alien species.
This time Little John steepled his fingers before saying,
You might be running down a blind alley, you know.
Those octopods are very different from us,
hugely different.
The sounds they make might not be a language at all.
I think they are.
Strangely, Little John smiled at Brad.
No scientific breakthrough was ever made by a man who didn't think he was right and everybody else wrong.
Wait a minute, said Brad. The whales and dolphins back on Earth communicate with each other.
Some whale songs can be heard halfway around the world.
Brad, you can't call mating songs a language.
But the whales' songs change and evolve over time.
Different species of whales learn them, and
true enough, Little John interrupted.
But you can't dignify them with the term language.
Well, what about the leviathans on Jupiter? They communicate visually, flash pictures at each other. They've even communicated with us.
Little John leaned forward and planted his elbows on the tabletop. Do you realize what we're up against? Do you understand the enormous challenge we face?
Making contact with an alien society, Brad mumbled.
We've got to admit that we'll never make meaningful contact with most of the aliens we meet.
Never?
Never, Little John insisted.
Take those octopods on Alpha. They're so very different from us. What do we have in common? Where can we have a meeting of minds?
That's what we've got to find out, isn't it?
Look, Brad,
there are probably all sorts of intelligent species scattered among the stars, but the only ones we'll have any meaningful interchange with will be those that have something in common with us.
Species like those octopods are too different.
The aliens on planet Gamma, they are more like us, at least superficially. We might be able to have meaningful intercourse with them, but not the octopods.
How do we know if we don't try? Brad insisted.
They have a language, I'm convinced of it. It may be primitive, but it's a language.
You made a copy of the data you got at Alpha, didn't you? And you've been trying to decipher it yourself.
Brad felt a shock of surprise buffet him.
How did you know?
Grinning, Little John answered,
Because that's what I would have done in your place.
I've identified a few words.
Little John slumped back in his chair.
All right, all right. I'll talk to the head of the philology team. See if she can take you into her group.
You will?
Thanks. Kossoff won't like it. He'll probably veto the move.
Yeah, Brad said, suddenly crestfallen.
Probably he will.
I'll talk with Kossoff, too.
I wouldn't want you to get on his bad side, Brad said.
All in a day's work, son.
Thank you.
But if I were you, I'd be more interested in the language of those people down on Gamma.
They're more like us, Brad agreed.
Little John said, Some of the alien species we encounter will be too far below us developmentally to have any meaningful interchange with us. Little more than apes, really. Others will be too far beyond us. Angels, so to speak.
So the species we can make meaningful contact with will be somewhere between apes and angels.
Little John nodded.
That's where we are, climbing the evolutionary ladder. We're apes. We're trying to become angels.